Well, good evening. It is good to be back again this evening. I want to spend some more time looking at a couple of thoughts along the line of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. I actually changed the title this week because I just felt like as I've been doing this, this is more about our relationships in general. And so it's a different title, but it's the same thing we've been thinking of, but Foundations for Successful Relationships. And so let's continue thinking about that. And one of the things that we started out talking about is everything that moves is fueled by something. And so these are things that sort of fuel our relationships. They are sort of a foundation for our relationships. We talked a lot about communication. Not going to rehash that, but that was one of the things that we spent some time looking at, is that in order to have a successful relationship, communication must be key. It is vital to success in any relationship, and you can carry that through whatever relationship dynamic you want to carry it through, whether it's employer-employee, whether it's husband-spouse, whether it's friends. Communication is the key. And I guess part of the beginning foundation of successful relationships. Trust is a big factor. And one of those things we talked about is trust is one of those things that must be earned, okay, over the process of time. And when trust is broken, what we need to remember is the way we restore trust is we restore it one attitude, one little step at a time, one attitude, one deed, one thought at a time. It's not going to happen just all at once. Trust is one of those things that must be built again. And so we talked a lot about trust. Just as we think about that particular aspect, I want to look, before we look at Proverbs 4, now again, some of these thoughts have come from the Proverbs about communication, about trust, and all of these things are true in our relationship with God, right? In order to have a good relationship with God, a relationship that develops closeness and intimacy, we have to have communication, okay? We talked a little bit about that when we spent our time on that point. For this idea of trust and understanding that our relationships are to be based on trust, and when trust is broken, it has to be built back. You know, that's kind of what the proverb writer is talking about in chapter 3, is that the relationship that we have with God is based on trust. In other words, God wants us to know that we really believe in who He is. And if we truly believe in who He is, then we're not going to worry. You know, we're not going to stress in life because we're depending on Him. Regardless of what we're dealing with, we put our lives in His hands and we know that He is able, right? He is able to help us in our difficulties. But notice Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Now just think about those three verses very quickly. Trust God with everything about who you are, with your heart. Trust Him with His understanding, not your understanding. I'm gonna listen to what God says, and I'm going to believe that God knows best. You know, I wonder how many times in the Old Testament, especially with like the different laws that were given, if you're reading through Leviticus, you know, you're reading all these laws, and you probably have questioned at some point, why did God say that? Why was that law put in place? And understand that all of those laws that were given in many ways were for a protection for the people, right? So you could look at the law of Moses, you could look at that big system of law, as, man, this is so burdensome, this is so hard, this is so difficult. And that would be one perspective. I think the appropriate perspective, according to the way that God wanted His children to operate with Him as a loving Father who cared about them, is from the perspective of trust. God, I may not understand all of this, but I realize that You have my life in Your best interest, and You want what's best for me. So these laws must in some ways be a protection for my life. And that would be an additional view. And so one of the things the proverb writer is saying, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust His understanding. Don't default back to your understanding. And then, as he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Right? It's not in man, help me out, to direct his own steps. So not only are we trusting God with everything about our heart, we're also trusting God in the fact that, you know, His understanding is best. Even though His ways might be far above mine, and even though His thoughts may be way beyond mine, I'm just going to trust that what He says is right and that there is a protection for my life in there. But then I'm going to let Him direct the steps of my life. I'm going to follow the path that He has set. You know, and I do that by studying His Word. Part of this aspect of trust that we talked about last week comes from giving your heart, applying your heart to the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me. And then if you look at the end, or kind of not necessarily the end, but sort of the middle of the Psalm 119, you know, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, God's saying, you want to live right before me and not sin? Follow my word. You want to get on the path that leads to righteousness? Then my word will light the way. And so, just in that simple little proverb, it talks a lot about trust. And again, our relationship with God is built on communication. Now think about that. God's communicated with us through His Word. We communicate with God by way of prayer. And then it's based on trust, right? Our lives are going to be fully committed to Him, heart, soul, mind, strength. We're going to say, God, You know what's best. We're going to look at Your reasoning, and that's where we're going to stand, and we're going to let You direct our steps, and we're going to take ourselves out of the process. And so that's the aspect of trust. And again, one word, one attitude, one action at a time. That's what helps to restore trust once trust has been lost or broken. Okay? The third thing, let's talk about this now for just a few moments this evening, is one of the most difficult things in life is to deal with your own heart, right? You say, well, how is that difficult? Well, because honestly, I'd rather say something about everyone else's heart, right? I'd rather look at the speck in my brother's eye than deal with the big beam that's in mine. That's just so much easier, right? I mean, I'd rather look at how tall your grass is on your side of the fence than have you look at how tall my grass is on my side of the fence. Why is that the case? Well, because if I look at my own heart, that requires action. If I look at my own yard and my own grass is tall, what do I need to do? Well, that requires me putting some action in place and actually getting out there, rolling up my sleeves, mowing my own yard, right? And if I'm looking at the beam that's in my eye instead of the speck that's in yours, then that demands action, doesn't it? That means I've got to do something about this, right? I'm having some eyesight issues. And in order to see better, I need to remove this thing. But it's easier to talk to someone else about letting them remove the little speck in their eye. That's just so much easier than the action that's required to cut my own grass or remove the plank from my own eye. And so when we think about this third point, it requires work on your own heart. We're not talking about someone else's heart. You know, it's so much easier to talk about someone else than it is to do something personally about our own situation. But this point, if we're going to have successful relationships, if this is going to be a foundational part of having a successful relationship, I need to be willing to work in my own heart. It's one thing to stand up and tell a group of people, you all need to be evangelistic. That's easier to say, right, than to personally look at my own life and say, you know what, I need to be more evangelistic. You know, you all need to study your Bibles more. Y'all don't study enough. It's easier to say that, right, than it is for me to open up and spend time in the Word of God. It's easier to say, you know, those religious people out there are so ignorant about what they believe. And then it's a totally different thing to say, okay, what do I really believe? What does God really want me to know? And am I spending time here? It's easier to say something than it is to do something. And so this might be one of those points where this is where the rubber really meets the road, that it requires action, that God wants us to work on our own hearts. So again, what did the proverb writer say? Keith read the verse in Proverbs 4:23. Why is it important for us to keep our own heart with diligence? Because out of our own hearts flow the issues of life. You want to know what a person has in his heart? Listen to what that person is talking about. Listen to what they're saying. I used to do this with kids at camp. And you've probably seen it. You've probably, if you haven't seen it, you've heard someone talk about it. And I'd go to the dollar store and I'd buy a tube of toothpaste and I'd squeeze all that toothpaste out, you know, and I'd take a pencil and I'd make sure every bit of it was out, and then I'd kind of, you know, try to work my fingers to open the tube, get it opened up a little bit and get some water in there, you know, and then I'd squeeze all that out, and then I'd fill that thing with mustard. And I'd fill it all the way through with mustard. And I'd get up before kids at camp, and at some point during the week when I directed camp, I'd say, "Now, what is this?" And everybody, "Oh, that's a tube of toothpaste, Mr. Charles." I'm like, "Okay, yeah. How many of you ready? Did you bring your toothbrush? How many of you ready to brush your teeth?" And I would always illustrate that out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues of life. Whatever's in your heart is what's going to come out in your language, in your words, in your actions. And I said, while it may look like one thing, what is actually on the inside is something totally different. And I said, "Now, what do you think's on the inside of this tube?" "Well, we think it's toothpaste, Mr." I said, "Okay." And I'd get out there. We'd always be outside in some camp setting, and I'd open it up. I said, "Somebody want to come look at this?" And no one would ever do that. And I'd just squirt that thing, and out would come that mustard, right? Because once pressure is applied, whatever's on the inside is what will come out. The proverb writer is telling us, listen, you have to be careful. I mean, whatever is in here will eventually come out in moments of pressure. Relationships bring about a massive amount of pressure. I don't care how much you love your spouse. Pressure is going to happen, right? You have married Mrs. Wonderful. I mean, she's the best thing since peanut butter. And you love her with all your heart. But you know what? Over time, there's going to be some pressure. And when that pressure is applied, whatever's on the inside is what's going to come out. That relationship, I've got the best friend in the world. And that's great. And you probably do. But over time, when a little pressure is applied to any relationship, best friends even, you know what happens? Believe this or not, best friends get mad at one another, don't they? Sometimes best friends say things they wish they would have never said to their best friend. And what happens is when the pressure starts to be applied, whatever's on the inside comes out. And so the proverb writer is trying to communicate this so beautifully to us. Whatever is in the heart eventually will manifest itself in what we say and do. This is kind of similar to the law of sowing and reaping. You know, whatever you sow, help me out, that you will also, if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption, right? Paul is giving us a principle that is true in life. It's kind of like this principle here in Proverbs 4:23. Protect your heart, because out of your heart will eventually come the issues of life. Whatever's in here is going to come out when pressure is applied. And so again, this is a lot like the principle that Paul was talking about with sowing or reaping. Listen to what the Lord said. For out of the abundance of the heart, what does the mouth do? Speaks. Our Lord said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you talk about? You talk about what's in your heart. You talk about what you've put in there. Angry words are not a slip of the tongue, but an overflow of the heart. There's a lot of truth in that. Angry words produce more angry words and more angry words and more angry words and more angry words. It's a vicious cycle. You want to break that cycle? Look at what's in your own eye. Look at your own yard. In this case, deal with your own heart. And that's a difficult thing. But if you want to break the cycle and you want to have better relationships, I mentioned the other day, a couple of Sundays ago, I can't remember if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before last. You know, when you look around at people that always have relationship issues, And I kind of used it in a congregational sense. Well, I used to be at that congregation, and you know, I left them, and now I'm with this congregation. And before long, you know what? This congregation's not good enough. I'm going to leave this congregation. I'm going to go to someone else. And the whole time, your circle's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. What generally happens, and the way that I have oftentimes counseled people through difficulties is, I would just say, what's the common denominator? Is it all these churches? Or is it you? And in relationships, that's the way it works, right? In relationships, if there are always angry words and there are always issues, then I would ask, well, what's the one common denominator in all of these relationships? And instead of looking at all these people and looking at their yard and what's in their eye, at some point I need to say, you know what? I might be the common denominator. And I need to look at what's in my eye. And then I need to make sure and see if I need to mow my own yard. And I need to guard my own heart. At some point, someone has to stop and change what's going on. I love the illustration about supposedly a true story, and I don't remember all of the details, but there was an old man who was jogging around a high school track, and he happened to be jogging around that high school track at the time that the high school team was having football practice. Well, the coach decided that boys were going to run sprints, and so about the time that old man started jogging, you know, the coach said, you're going to start running sprints until that old man stops jogging. And he was in his 80s. And so the older man decided, he said, you know, if these young boys can run sprints, then surely I can jog around this track. And so he starts jogging, and man, he just keeps jogging, and those boys keep running sprints. And he just keeps on jogging. He's just trucking along. Those boys are just running sprints. And finally, the old man just decides, you know, I can't do this anymore. These boys are just going to have, they have way more energy than I do. And so he finally stops. And then about that time, shortly after, all the football team stops. And of course, the old man, he's bent over and he's huffing and he's thinking, you know, this probably wasn't that good of an idea. But one of the football players decided he was going to walk up to him. He said, Mister, he said, I want to tell you, he said, I sure am glad you stopped. And he kind of looked at him and he's like, what? He said, we had to keep running as long as you kept running. Of course, the older guy was thinking, I had to keep jogging because I thought you know, at some point someone has to stop to get some relief, right? And that's so true in relationships. At some point, you have to stop, and in order for there to be relief in the dynamic of that relationship, you have to look at your own heart and decide what is best. And generally, what is best is taking the course of action that God wants us to. Sometimes that means repentance. Sometimes that means saying, I'm sorry. Sometimes that means seeking out wise counsel. Sometimes that means there needs to be reconciliation that needs to happen. But that can only happen when you personally work on your own heart. In Mark chapter 7, verse 15, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. It's just so much like the Sermon on the Mount. It's the issues of the heart that God is concerned about. It's not necessarily whether we're eating with unwashed hands, and that was kind of the issue, or whether we're washing cup vessels with dirty hands. No, the issue was not necessarily the dirty hands. The issue about what Jesus said really defiles a person is what's in the heart. But those Pharisees were so guilty of just looking at the faults of others instead of really looking at the issue of their own heart. And as a result, they never got it. Most of them never got it. And so what we have is we have a scenario where instead of looking at the heart, which was the real issue, and understanding that that's what really defiles us, those particular men that Jesus was speaking to ended up putting him on a cross and killing him because they were more interested in outward appearance, how they look before the people. But we will never experience real change in our lives and in our relationships until we've had a change of heart. Proverbs 27:19, as waters reflect a face, so man's heart reflects the man. It's true. What's in your heart is truly a reflection of who you are. What's in your heart will eventually come out when you're under pressure. What's in your heart will be seen in your actions and your words. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And our Lord says, for whatever's on the inside of a man's heart, that's eventually what He's going to talk about. And Jesus said, really, the issue of the heart, that's the one thing that defiles us more than anything else. When was the last time you had a heart checkup? You seriously gauged the spiritual nature of your heart. Is it in line with what God says in His Word? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do as a follower of His? And are you responding in your relationships the way that God would have you to respond? Tonight, as we consider these issues of communication and trust, and then taking care of our own hearts, it may be that you need to make a decision tonight. This is that come to Jesus moment, if you will, where you need to make a response to Him, whether it's as a child of God to say, you know, my heart isn't right, and I've been very careless with it, and it's been seen in my actions and my words. And if that's the case, then I would encourage you to come forward and to make things right, and let us as a spiritual family encourage you. It could be that you've never fully given your heart to God. He wants you to confess Him as Lord. He wants to be the number one priority in your heart and in your life. And He wants you to turn your life over to Him. That results in a change of action and a change in the way you think. And He wants you to be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. And if you'll give Him your heart and respond in that way tonight, you'll be forgiven. You'll be on a new path for pleasing God, and you will be a better person in your relationships. If we can help you in any way, come tonight as together we stand and sing.